rocked things up a little bit, shook things up. Holy Spirit moved on the hearts of men. We had a time last night. We started at 5 and ended at 9. And God was doing some things. Men just don't hang around for no reason, right? I mean, they hang around when God's doing something in their heart. And he was bringing some change, and he was bringing some deliverance. Last night, he was bringing some freedom. Woo! Praise God. And God's going to continue that. So I'm looking forward to everything that God is going to do today. Pastor Craig has pastored two very successful churches, one in Washougal, one in Roseburg. Recently, they stepped down from that leadership position to go and help their son pastor a church in Oceanside, California. And that church is growing and doing very well down there. And he's down there to help his son be successful there. But it's just a privilege to have you both. So Pastor Craig, come and share the word. Let's stand one more time and give Craig a warm covenant welcome.
Bless you, brother. Thank you. Hey, it's good to see everybody. If you are visiting here today, let me just say you definitely want to come back next Sunday. Because the sweet pastor will be here, and so give him a shot. Would you do that? This morning, I'll work on being sweet, but I really am here with an assignment. I feel like the Lord's given me an assignment and a word to deliver to you, and then we're going to spend some time together in prayer, concluding the word today, and see what God will do. Yes, indeed. Is that Sister Riley right there? I think you two ladies right here kind of kept me alive during some stupid years of my life. So just thanks. And Sister Claire. I grew up in this church. And Peggy, may I call you Peggy? Peggy, that, you know, in those days it was Sister Clear. And you were treading on thin ice if you said Peggy. So Peggy, I was sure could read my thoughts. Because she would just kind of look at me. And I just knew she could read every bad thought in my heart. I don't know if you've ever felt that way about someone, but I did. It was kind of a secret, but I remember one time I said that to her. I said, you love me even though you can read my thoughts. Because I thought she could. She said, no, I can't read your thoughts, but I just look past where you are right now, and I can see where you'll be someday. And I've never forgot that, and that has, not only have I never forgot it, but it's actually was a prophetic word for me that that I wasn't always going to be like this. I wasn't always going to be like this. So I bless both of you ladies, and so glad to see you. I give you and extend honor to you. Hallelujah. Karen and I, I will tell you this. Here's a crazy thing. Who would have ever thought? I would never have thought, not ever would I have thought, that I would leave Oregon to go to a crazier place. Who last year, 600,000 people left California. And two moved in. And that would be Karen and I. And so we are in California, and you know, it's just, it's crazy land. It's crazy land down there. And we are helping our son and, you know, enjoying life. You do pay for the sunshine. You do pay for this beautiful tan and dried out skin. You do pay for that. But there's no place like home. We were excited to come to Oregon and kind of do a little sweep and visit with y'all here. We're going to have to work together today. So if you think you came to church to let me do all the heavy lifting, you're going to have to rethink that, because that's not how it's going to work today. We're going to lift some things together. Yes, indeed. And I will, I'll do my part, and you're going to have to do your part. Say, well, what is my part? Your part is going to be listening really fast. Listening really fast. And I mean, you know, as the guy was greeting me this morning as we were walking in, I can't remember the fella's name, and he said, boy, you kept me awake last night. And I know he was trying to pay me a compliment, but truthfully, we need, and I'm teasing him slightly, I will keep you awake, but if I possibly can, but let's do better than that. Amen. Let's do better than that. So take your Bibles, if you would, and see if you can find Jeremiah. I know that you will be very familiar with this verse, well known. Everybody has it on their refrigerator, if you put stuff there. And I'll get my glasses on so I can see what I'm going to talk about. Jeremiah 29. We're going to be talking about destiny today and some very critical components to the destiny that you have. We're not going to be talking about my destiny. We're going to talk about your destiny. And there is an abundance of scripture validating my next statement. Every person in this room has been called and mandated with an assignment, with a destiny. Every person, no matter the color, no matter the age, every person has been mandated with a destiny. However, not everyone will walk that destiny out, sadly, for a number of reasons that we will be discussing today. So this is really important that you listen. Please. Let's pay attention. And my faith is at work to see you have a supernatural ta-da today. That's my faith for today. That there would be something happen to you today. Truly. Seriously. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let's read it again. For I know the thoughts. In other words, God is thinking about you. He's thinking about you. You may feel all alone today, and you may feel as though God doesn't remember your address, but I'm telling you that He is thinking about you. I know that's true because it's the Word of God. Let every man be a liar. Get your Bible, get your doctrine straight. God is thinking about you. And their thoughts of what? Peace. Not trouble. Not the chaos you've been in. If you've been in chaos, there's reasons why. So let's not blame God for that. There's reasons why we get all messed up. To give you peace, not of evil, to give you a future or an expected end. God wants to take you to a place of peace. God wants to release a glorious destiny, an expected end. God has an end in mind for me and for you. Pinch your slapper, ping your neighbor, and tell him, God has an end for you. He does. He has an end in mind for you. And it's not a bad end. Say this with me, please. God is thinking about me. It's true. That word destiny is a short form of the word destination. You were born with a destination in mind. Say, I'm not into this God stuff. I'll make my own way, thank you. Who do you think you are? You're not that good. You think that you can put together and figure out a destination that would be anything like what the God of the universe could put together for you? Who do you think you are? Like I said, you come back next week and the sweet pastor will be here. But I'm here to challenge some things about your thinking and see if we can't shift you into a more biblical view of your life. God created you with and mandated a destiny. It is for you and I to discover. It's not going to be forced on you. It's not accidentally discovered. There's a price, and there are principles whereby we unlock destiny. One of my favorite Bible verses, Jacob, is what? Hoo-ah. He's a mind reader. Jacob is a mind reader. No, I mean, I was thumping him in the chest last night. So he would never forget this. 2 Timothy 2:5 says this. This is Paul speaking. He said, if any man, anyone strives for mastery. This is the King James. I don't always do the King James, but I like this one. A lot. If any man strives for mastery, that is the terminology that Paul is using here in 2 Timothy 2:5 is language from athletics, from the Olympics, the Olympic Games. If any man strives as an athlete striving for the crown, striving for mastery, I don't know about you, but if you ever stumble upon a master, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. There are master craftsmen who are cuts above your average carpenter. But you're going to pay more for a master. Master gardener. They know things about the soil and plants. Don't ask me. If I touch your plant, it will die, most likely. Master gardener can solve all your gardening problems for a price. If you ever have a meal prepared by a master chef, you could pay upwards of $1,000 for that meal. You're not going to get that at Spooky's. We had lunch at Spooky's yesterday. It was a great hamburger, good pizza, but there was nothing mastery about it. You know, the cook, he was a cook. He was not a chef. The cook had a sweatband and was working and sweating, and it was a good burger. But when you taste a ribeye prepared by a master chef. Now we're talking about a different story here. Any man who would strive for mastery must do so, Paul said, according to the rules, according to certain principles. Otherwise, you will not be crowned. If you are interested, now he wasn't encouraging people to sign up for the Olympics. He was talking spiritual talk here. That there is a certain striving for mastery spiritually that you're called to and I am called to. Not just preachers. Boy, get that out of your mind. Yeah, I know it was written to Timothy, but this is for us all. Amen. Amen. Mastery. But there are rules to the game, or you will not be crowned, Paul says. So I must learn to master the keys that govern this kingdom that we are in now and citizens of. Amen. Are you listening today? Didn't ask if you agreed. I just asked if you are listening. If you have been born again, and some of you have, others not. Those of you not, you're not going to understand most of what I'll say today. But I will have a word for you toward the end of the morning. If you've been born again into this kingdom of God, you need to understand that it is governed by laws and principles. Yes, amen. And we are invited to master those laws. Why? Without knowledge, we will not understand how to transfer spiritual realities into physical manifestation. I'm going to say it again. Without understanding, without knowledge, we will not know how to transfer spiritual realities. Every promise in the Word is a spiritual reality for you and me. But seeing those come into physical manifestation takes knowledge. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. It takes mastery. It takes us learning how to make contact in the Spirit. And if you are a believer and do not know how to make contact in the Spirit with the supply of the Spirit. Paul talked a lot about the supply of the, did you know there is a supply room in heaven with your name on it? The door to that room is likely shut and rusted. Unless you learn how to partake of the supply of the Spirit that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. So we're gonna look at some of the reasons why it's not happening. See what we can do to change that. All right. That's my introduction. Let's go to work. I'm going to give you three, maybe four things. We'll see. I think in your notes, I noticed there are four, but we may not get to the last one. Depends how good you do at listening. Has nothing to do with me. You have to be a good listener. Number one, this is the foremost, the most substantial. If I'm going to be serious with my destiny, and there's some of you here today, especially some of you 35 and under, you need to sit down and have a real serious meeting, you and your destiny. In fact, that meeting ought to happen today. That meeting ought to happen today. Sit down, have a serious talk, you and your destiny. And what are we going to do to get this thing moving in the right direction? Number one, I must discover my place in the Word of God. I must discover, I didn't say I must start reading my Bible. I said to you this, I must discover my place in the Word of God. Similar, but not the same. The key to unlock destiny in your life and mine is and will only be discovered in God's Word. Let me say it this way. I must find in this Bible, in this book, I must find where it is written about me. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 15 through 20. Luke chapter 4, verse 15 through 20. Very, very instructive passage. Jesus is in the temple. He's in the city of Nazareth where he was brought up. So this is kind of hometown. The Bible says he went into the synagogue as was his custom. So he was a church-going guy. And I might just say, dry/dead is what church was then, if you catch my drift. It's a dry place. Say, how do you know? Because I grew up in the synagogue. And there is hardly any resemblance of life. Say, that's harsh. Well, perhaps. But that's how I grew up. And you can sing, you can worship, you can give, and you can sacrifice and not know God. Going through religious motions. There was not a more religious man alive on the planet than my grandfather. And my little grandmother. As religious as you can get. But that's not how you know God. That's just simply going through the motions, like some of you do. Because everybody knows that people go to church for different reasons. So he was in the synagogue. The Word was in the synagogue. Think about it. Jesus, the capital W, the Word went to church. And when he walked in, he was handed the book of Isaiah. Oh! And notice, he found the place where it was written. And he began to read. It says, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord. This is quoting from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And this next verse is very, very instructive. Then he closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down. Are you seeing this? You need to see it, not just hear, you need to see it today. He came in, they gave him the book. He opened it up, began to read from Isaiah. And then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And all the eyes of those who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he said this. Ah! Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, Jesus declared that he found where it was written concerning his destiny. Woo! Now, he's the Son of God, not little s. You're little s, I'm little s, but he's big S. He is the only begotten Son of God. So let's get that straight, so that you don't think I'm preaching some kind of weirdness here. But Jesus found the same way you and I are going to find where it is written in this book about us. And you will never even begin to step into destiny. Please hear me. You'll never step into destiny until you open this book and begin to look at it and read it and find where God is speaking to you directly and speaking about you directly. How did he do that? Well, when he was 12, we have evidence that he, at 12, he already had a very passionate hunger for the word. You know the story, don't you? His parents are traveling. They take the boy with them. They leave. I don't know, 2 or 3 days down the road, they realize Jesus, where is Jesus? Lost him. So they backtrack and came back. And there he is in the synagogue, sitting at the feet, the word, sitting at the feet of these rabbis and Pharisees. What was he doing? He was learning all that he could. He was growing in knowledge, in stature, the Bible says, in wisdom, in favor with God and with man. The same way you're going to grow and I'm going to grow. Amen. Amen. It says he found where it was written. He said, this is fulfilled in your hearing today. Just want you to know that. He discovered the plan and the purpose of the Father for his life in the Scriptures, just like you will. Just like you will. Just like you will. He's hidden it in there so that you will find it. When our grandchildren were little, we, you know, Karen would hide Easter eggs. Well, it really wasn't hiding. That when they were small kids, I mean, it was in plain sight, but you know, they don't always see stuff right in front of them like you. You don't always see what's right in front of you. God's hidden it for your, he's actually doing you a favor by hiding it. I'm coming down. He's done you a favor by hiding it. He's concealed it. Because once you discover it, now you are accountable. So in some cases, he's done some of you a favor. So I never hear the voice of God. I hear that all the time. I never hear the voice of God. Well, the Bible says his sheep hear his voice. I'm wondering, are you his sheep? Because it's normal for his sheep to hear his voice. But once you hear his voice, there's a certain level of accountability that comes with hearing the voice of the Lord. It might have been better not to be here last night. Some of you guys, than to have heard and experienced and felt and saw what God was doing and then walk away from it. That's frightening. Come on. Every glorious destiny comes as a prophetic script. Every time you open your Bible, you're going to see one of three things. You're going to see a prophetic script. You're going to see promises. And you're going to see principles. Every time you open your Bible, a prophetic script, principles. And what was number three? Promises. If I'm going to run my race lawfully, if I'm going to be crowned, then I must find my place in this word. That's called striving for mastery. That's number one. So you have some homework to do. You have some homework to do. First assignment, find your Bible. Maybe you should put one of those little locators on it. Okay? Like we do with Karen's keys. Karen's keys and Karen's little dog. They both have locators. I've been tempted to cut the locator off that dog and just send that dog packing down the road. I don't know where he went. It's an awful dog. But we cannot lose her keys. You need to put a locator on your Bible. You need to get back in love with the Word of God. Yes, you do. So find that, baby. Find that. Find your Bible. Blow the dust off of it. Come on, get started. Get started. Don't read it to try to find out what you're doing wrong. Read it to find out what God says about you and your destiny. Those are not the same. Why don't we just ask God right now? Come on. Let's just ask all of us, just ask God right now, Lord, I need grace to love your Bible. I need grace to love your word. Come on, you say those words. Say those words. Come on. I need grace today. In this morning service, Lord, give each of us grace to delight in your word. Number two. How we doing? It's 11:20. We all right? Is that 11:20 Pacific? All right. I don't worry about you. I worry about the nursery workers. That's who I worry about. I've pastored too many years to worry about you. I worry about the nursery workers, the children's workers, and everybody who's working with your children today. Well, that was kind of mean. No, that was just honest. It's your kids we're working with right there. All right, I'm going to take a drink. I need to be sweeter. Second principle, boy, this is a good one. This is important. The second principle for advancement in your life is the power of vision. Oh my. The power of vision. Proverbs 29 and verse 18, you know this one well, just like the Jeremiah verse. Where there is no revelation, where there is no vision, the people perish or cast off restraint. Where there is no vision, people cast off restraint. What is vision? Vision is a prophetic vision of things that are not but could be. They are not currently happening, but can happen, says the Lord. That is a vision. A prophetic, it is a prophetic selfie. It's a picture of you in God's billfold. It's not what you are right now, but it's what you are going to become. Isn't that good? That's called a prophetic picture or a vision. Without a vision, without a vision. One translation says you wander in circles. Like people, like some people you know who live their life going in circles. I used to travel in circles. When I was going to this church, I about every 4 months I seemed to pass the same terrain. Have you ever wondered how come I keep seeing these same things pop up about every 3 or 4 months? Don't you be quiet on me now. You know what I'm talking about. It might be in your marriage. It might be in your finances. In 100 different ways. And this stuff circulates. It's because you're walking in circles. But more importantly, you have no vision. You do not have a prophetic picture of where God is taking you. Without a vision, you will not know where you're going. A vision will help you see things that should be, things that can be, not as they are, but can be. The very evidence, I know I sound like a broken record, the very evidence that you're born again today, I don't know what you think it is, but I'll tell you what Jesus thinks it is in John chapter 3. Very familiar passage. The very evidence that you're born again is that you begin to see things. You see things. You see things that are invisible. Oh, you don't believe that things that are invisible are that you think things invisible are unreal. Really? Well, just don't wash your hands for a week. And see what's growing under your fingernails the next time you're preparing a meal and everybody gets sick. Sometimes what we can't see is killing us. Just because it's invisible does not make it unreal. The things in the invisible realm, the Apostle Paul said, are more real than the chair you're sitting on. What gives life to every single thing in the visible world is what is currently happening in the spirit world. That's the Bible. Once I capture a vision, Paul lived by a heavenly vision. Right to the end of his life, he was moved, motivated, and at times driven by a heavenly vision. Once I capture a prophetic vision, I'll promise you this. That vision will capture you. And there comes a moment when that vision is no longer something you have to carry. That thing starts to carry you. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You know what I'm talking about? I say, well, I need to get some of that. Yes, you do. Because without a vision, you will wander in circles. Vision gives me power. I'm going to give you two things about vision. Vision gives me power to say no to lesser things. Now, some of you boys that were here last night need to hear this. Vision gives you power to say no to certain things and to say yes to other things. Some of you have been saying no to the right things and been saying yes to the wrong things. What's the problem? No vision. No vision. That's the root problem. There's a lot of things you're going to have to say no to in life. Not just the bad stuff. That's kind of no-brainer. That's obvious. But there's a lot of other good things that you might need to say no to as well. Things that may be good for someone else, but they're not good for me. How do you know? Because you are living by prophetic vision. That's why. Vision gives me a legitimate ground to say yes and no. I choose to live by a kingdom blueprint. I don't know about you, but I'm making that choice to live by a kingdom blueprint. I chose many years ago to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, best I can, and at times best Karen will let me. best I can. You know what she does at night? How many of you like to know? One person. I'll tell you at lunch today. Now, you know what she'll do? I caught her doing this. She, when I'm asleep, she will whisper in my ear and say, "This is God speaking." I caught her. Oh, she saved my bacon plenty times, for which I'm grateful. Oh boy. Best thing you could do. You want to make it 50 years? You're going to have to learn how to listen to your wife, gentlemen. Because they're not always right. Karen's not always right. She's only right about 95% of the time, but she's not always right. You don't think that's funny. You're either living as a visionary or you are stationary. Oh, those are fighting words. I can feel it. I can feel what you're sending me right now, some of you. You are either living as a visionary or you are stuck. Now, how's that? Did that get you? Maybe stationary was just too polite a way of saying you're stuck. Jammed. Vision will give you power not only to say no to lesser things, it will give you power to focus. Say focus. Focus. A visionary person is a very focused person. That means I'm learning how to coordinate and concentrate my energies, my resources, material resources, financial resources, relational, intellectual resources towards a common goal. And what happens is I stop shadow boxing. I stop running around trying to do everything and start to focus on what I'm really about. I've met so many 50, 60, 70-year-old men who still do not know what they are all about. I'm working with a guy right now. He's 83. He's got more money than... He's got a lot of money. He lives in a beautiful home. But he is absolutely a man without a vision. And all of his money is not making him happy toward the end of his life. You will perish without a vision. Money has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. You can be a fat cat and miserable. Vision gives you focus. It requires focus to select the right job, doesn't it? It requires focus to select the right wife, the right husband. I said the right wife and the right husband. Some of you need to start getting some help before you select the next one. That's all I'm going to say about that. I think that was Forrest Gump said that, wasn't it? That's all I'm going to say about that. You need focus. You need focus to select the right friends. Why? Because you're going to become the average of the four you spend the most time with. And you actually might be the one that's bringing the whole average down. So it takes wisdom and focus to select the right friends. Some of you need some new friends. Yes, indeed. People you've been hanging with are not helping you. You fool around in a company of fools, and you will become a fool. But he that walks with the wise shall be wise also. Say, well, I'm not very wise. Well, then just keep your mouth shut, and no one will know right away. That's Bible, isn't it? It's the Bible. It's a Schlesinger paraphrase, but that's what the Bible says. Just keep your mouth shut and avoid the appearance. Somebody might think you're smart just because you don't say anything. Listen. Vision is what will wake you up in the morning. Oh, I've slept in the last 5 days. You know what? I'm not going to applaud for that. That's nothing to be proud of. I'm wondering if you've been sleeping in for the last 5 days, what is motivating you? Do you have a vision that gets you up in the morning? I mean, the minute your eye opens, are you thinking about this prophetic thing that God has spoken to your life? And that this is another day to work toward that? Because there, listen, you need to hear this. There are promises, prophetic promises to you and me, that the current version of yourself is not licensed for. That was good. That was a lot better than they're all giving me credit for. But thank you. There may be promises, and no doubt there are lots of promises that God has for you, but not the current version of you. That's what I meant when I said, or that I think that's what Peggy meant when she said to me, I've just always looked right over your head to where you will be. She was looking at my prophetic potential and realizing I wasn't always going to be stupid. Or as stupid. Vision empowers you to spend your time wisely. The unit of destiny is time. Oh, that's a pearl. The unit, the singular unit of destiny is time. What you spend your time doing is what you are now becoming. And everything that you are becoming attracts certain other things into your life. If you want to change what you have been attracting into your life, this is absolutely stunning information. If you want to change what you have been attracting, you have to change what you are becoming. If you want to, I'm going to see how you do with this. If you want to change what you are attracting, you don't like what you're attracting? What do I have to do? I have to change what I am becoming. Because what I am becoming, I am attracting. That's how we do it. Good job, you guys. $100 each? Is that what we're doing? David's mumbling under his breath. $100 each. The unit of destiny is time. So get serious about your time. Get serious about your time. You young guys, if you can't read a book a month, you are wasting a lot of time. A book a month. I know some of you haven't read a book in 5 years. Some of you didn't read books and still graduated high school. You should be reading a book a month and then start to graduate into a book every 2 weeks. So how could I possibly do that? I have a wife. I have a family. I have children. It's called time management. You spend time on what is valuable to you. It is absolutely true. You got the same amount of time I do. So Lord, help us steward our time. Lastly, this one is really important. The third principle for advancement is the power of light. The power of light. Light. High level spiritual illumination. That's what I'm talking about right here. I'm not talking about little foo-foo light. I'm not talking about refrigerator bulb light. I'm talking about high level spiritual illumination. If you're ever going to go and strive for mastery, you will discover that that demands high level light or knowledge. Talking about knowledge here. The Bible talks a lot about light in sync with knowledge. You are destroyed for a lack, Hosea says, of what? It's not the devil that's destroying you. Gentlemen, it's not the devil that's kicking your butt. You're kicking your own butt. What was that movie? Liar, liar. I just had a little visionette of him in the bathroom kicking his own butt. I know that's awful in church, isn't it? I'm sorry. What were you doing in there? I was kicking my own butt. Listen, we're destroyed. The devil doesn't destroy you. The lack of knowledge destroys you. Yes, that's tight, but it's right. You need knowledge. You need light. So do I. The kingdom we are part of operates by knowledge. We must attack ignorance with a fierce determination. Attack it. Proverbs 11:9, the knowledge, through knowledge, the just shall be delivered. You guys got delivered last night through knowledge. Come on. Proverbs 119, 130, the entrance of your word gives illumination, light. Proverbs 23, 23, this is really good. By truth. By truth. Because see, it's going to cost you. Did y'all know that? It's free, but it's going to cost you. You read the small print. Buy truth. And do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Verse 23. Get truth and never sell it. Also get wisdom, discipline, and good judgment. Another paraphrase says, buy truth, don't sell it for love or money. So knowledge is something you have to acquire. It's very intentional. And the kingdom we're a part of demands exactitude. The same as this key will not open up every door. It only opens one door. But it's an important door. You know what key that is? Don't shout it out. Somebody might want to take this key. That's an important key. It's not going to open every door, but the door I want to get into a little later on this afternoon demands that I know how to spot this key. That's called exactitude. There are things I must learn how to use with exactitude in order to do what? In order to transfer some spiritual realities into the here and now in my life and yours. You know how that works. Every Sunday at offering time, you've learned what? That if you will be a giver, you will also be a receiver. I know we say you don't give to receive, but that's not really true. I give to receive. I give because I'm working a law of the kingdom. You do what you want. I'm striving for mastery. I want to listen, my prayer average is not great. How's yours doing? I mean, I'm not sure I even have 30%. Now, you can feel good about that, but 30% in most schools is a failure. Well, I have 30%. What do you have? Well, on the curve, 30% is a failure. I'm trying to get my average up. Why? Because it's important to have answered prayer. It's not that I don't pray, because I do pray. The problem, how are we doing here? It's 11:47. I know I am like, we got to land this plane. I know that. The disciples came to Jesus in the book of Luke and they said, and again, this is kind of the Schlesinger paraphrase. Master, we are frustrated. Because we see you get off every morning and you go pray and you walk on water. You calm storms. You cast out demons, heal blind eyes, and open deaf ears. All 12 of us put together couldn't cast a demon out yesterday. What, we are frustrated with our batting average. How about you? Are you frustrated? Because I am. I just realized it's not for a lack of prayer. It's that I need to not pray amiss. James described it really well. He said, you don't have answered prayer, not because you're not praying. You're just not praying with knowledge. It's a really good word. We must hunger for what we do not know. Yeah, it's time you start to get hungry for what you do not know. You say, well, how am I going to find out? Well, it starts just realizing there's a lot I do not know. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians, I think, 8:2. There are things you do not know yet. The operative word is yet. You know stuff, but there's some other stuff you don't know yet. And I realize that about me at age 72. So what do? Well, Jesus gave a parable about it. He said a lady lost a coin. What did she do? Well, she did two things. She turned on a light. And she got out her broom. And she started to sweep. Turn on your light. Get some light action going on. Get your broom and start sweeping. And find some of this stuff. I'm talking about high level illumination. All right. I'm going to pray for three kinds of people this morning. And I'm going to give you these. And then, Pastor, turn it over to you. You can dismiss. And if you need to correct some stuff, do that. or maybe spare me the humiliation and do it next week. But there's some people I want to pray for this morning. I realize we're on overtime. Like I said, you come back next week, you'll get out a little early. Maybe. These are specific to Covenant the Dalles. People who have no prophetic vision, or you lost, you have released, let go of prophetic vision, and you have been wandering. Actually, if you were to put it on a piece of graph paper, it kind of looks like this. And you don't have to wonder if that's you. Is he talking about me? No. The minute I finished the sentence, you knew if it was you. Secondly, you've been saying yes to things you should be saying no to, and you've been saying no to things you should be saying yes to. You are zigging when you should be zagging, and you're not getting it right. And that can change in a matter of minutes. Peter had a vision on a rooftop one afternoon, waiting for his wife to make grilled cheese sandwiches. And that vision, the sheet, remember? A sheet came down. Have you read your Acts 10? A sheet came down, filled all kinds of animals. And Peter thought he had the right answer, but he did not. See, Pete, there was another version of Peter that needed to start coming into manifestation for Peter to start doing what God had called him to do. And the junk that Peter was carrying around, the prejudice and the bigotry that Peter was carrying around, would have never gotten him anywhere in his ministry had he not offloaded that. You and I need to learn how to outsource to the Holy Ghost. There are things that you need to pray out. How about today? There's other things you need to pray in today. How about some things you need to start praying through? Those will make a bigger you. Those will take a timid, weak you and turn you into something amazing, a spiritual version of yourself. Lastly, oh, goodness. I wanted to talk about dishonor. I wanted to talk about honor and dishonor, but I just, as you can see, didn't happen. But I felt like the Lord was saying this morning that to me personally, that there's people in here that have actually had doors close on you because of dishonor. Because you have not, listen, we need to honor God. We need to honor parents. See, you don't know what my father was like. Well, you don't know what my father was like. But I realized in the basement of 10th and Kelly in 1878, you know, 1978, in the basement of 10th and Kelly, with a group of men and your father, your husband, laying hands on me, I realized that what was one of the biggest things holding me back in my advancement was unforgiveness and dishonor toward my father. Now, he was an awful father. He was an awful father. But that did not have anything to do with it. My dishonor was affecting me. He had been dead for 20 years. There's some of you that have had doors slam on you and will not open again until you understand honor. You may not even realize who you have dishonored or who you should have honored. I remember having a lady come up to me. I'm doing the very thing I said I wasn't going to, but this is so good. It really is good. The lady came up to me some years ago. And she said, she was visiting the church. She said, "Do I have to call you pastor?" And I said, "No. You don't have to call me pastor. You get to." And she just looked at me, Peggy. Just kind of looked at me like, am I supposed to get that? I don't know what that means. And she just turned around and walked away. When I go see my family physician, he's a great guy. He's a born-again man and a superior doctor. And it isn't just because I'm a new patient of his, but I would just never think of when he comes into the room to check me out, I just would think to say, "Peter, how you doing, man? Give me five, Peter." I mean, you think I would do that? Now, you might, but I would not. Why? Because I am a man of honor. And I honor that man's office. I honor that man's education. I honor that man's sacrifice. Yeah, he makes a lot of money. He should. He's keeping me alive. Most days. Some days. You understand what I'm saying? If you don't learn who the people are you're supposed to honor and stop dishonoring others, you will never have advancement in destiny. And there's some of you, even as I'm speaking to you right now, you know exactly who you are and what you need to, in the spirit, retract and start fresh. So if you are here today, if you're not here today, then yeah, don't worry about it. If you're here today and you are dealing with any of those three, I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. But they'll have to come forward.
You know, when we hear a word like this, it needs to be acted on. Now, you can act on the word in your heart, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's all you need to do. I believe there's some folks here today that need to act on it with your feet by getting up and coming up and saying, I need prayer. I fit into one of those three categories, and I need prayer. And if you have kids and you need to go get your kids, we want to release you to do that. If you need to slip out, you need to get to work or something like that, we want to release you to do that. Just ask you, no talking or fellowship in here. You can do that out in the foyer, but this is a holy time. This is a time that God's going to meet some folks today and set some people free. So if you need to act with your feet, just get up and move forward, and we're going to have some prayer time up here.